The Lord takes all the enmity that Adam and Eve had accomplished by their disobedience to God's command and by their eating of the fruit. The Lord takes all that enmity and he says, no longer is it between us. Now it's between me and the devil and between you and the devil.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And here's the point. The Lord did not bring an end to the war, not yet, but the Lord says now, I'm going to war, not against you, but for you, to deliver you and to make peace.
You can watch and listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's presentation, Making the Case for Christian Peace, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. The president had no more than announced his student debt forgiveness program, $10,000 to $20,000, depending on what kind of loan you have. When on social media, there were people who were decrying it and complaining about it. Then there were people who were also defending it. And a lot of those defenses came from the Bible, from people who ordinarily don't really care what the Bible has to say on anything. Suddenly, we were hearing a lot about debt forgiveness in the Bible and a lot of accusations being made at Christians who are objecting to debt forgiveness for being hypocrites. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Let's answer the question, does the Bible support student loan forgiveness? Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, There's Nothing Christian About Biden's Student Debt Forgiveness, and Here's Why. Hans, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Progressives suddenly want the Bible to dictate public policy on student loan forgiveness. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it is a bit odd. The same people that are constantly freaking out about a supposed Christian theocracy or Christian nationalism, we're seeing boogeymen under every pro-life law, every just standard general, slightly to the right of Karl Marx view of government, seeing some kind of insidious plot to impose theocracy on the people of the United States. And yet when it comes to the idea of President Biden issuing an executive order aimed at a forgiving student loan, then suddenly they're quoting a bunch of Bible passages and insisting that Christians have to support this because it's in line with the very same faith that they're terrified we're trying to sort of enshrine in law.
You say that you are an equal opportunity extremist when it comes to student debt. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah. So on the one hand, I grew up in the generation of student debt and the generation before anyone was talking about it, but when it was definitely a huge problem and was part of the culture that was yielding that. So, I grew up in a upper middle class-ish suburb where the mindset that was front and center for everybody who was going to school was we expect everyone to go to college if you want to be a respectable person. If you went to trade school, that meant you were a failure. Genuinely, just kind of my mindset was, if you're a kid who went to a community college to get your gen eds before going to regular college, that probably meant that you were a drug addict, or that you had really messed up your life in some way because you weren't doing the thing that every respectable suburban kid was supposed to do, which was go to a four-year residential university, despite the fact that a ton of kids who were going were failing out and didn't have any particular interest in academia, who could have gone into very successful jobs if they'd gotten some kind of more specific training for that, but that kind of ended up floundering. The mindset was very much like, this is what you have to do. And then so you go and people put pieces of paper in front of you and you don't quite understand what they are. And this is a little bit of my frustration with some of the political right on this issue is I think it is a bit dismissive of what this world really is like for so many kids, where from the time that, as long as you can remember, you're taught that college is an absolute necessity for you. And then you don't ever get any training and money at any point in your schooling career. You can take a whole bunch of classes on math and science and English and literature and all these things, but you never actually learn how interest works, how money works. There aren't classes on that. And you have parents that want you to sign the form and they want you to go to college. And you've got the administrators and the people at the school who want you there. So you're signing pieces of paper and then you think you're going to have a job when you come out. And that was kind of part of the generation I was part of too, was at a lot of schools, there was no clear job training whatsoever. There was no clear track for here's how you actually get a well-paying job in your line of work. So you go and you get, I was blessed to have parents that helped out quite a bit. But you know, you had some kids that are coming out of school with $60,000, $80,000 in debt with no discernible career options and nowhere to go and not quite knowing what to do about it. So on the one hand, you look at that and you go, all right, well, schools were clearly, they knew full well, they know what these kids academically are capable of. You're having a bunch of kids come into a college who can't so much as write a thesis statement, and you know full well what their familiarity with math is, and that there are virtually no high school courses on personal finance. So you know full well that these kids have no clue what they're signing up for. And yet you're selling them on this is necessary for your ability to become a well-employed, successful, respectable person in your life. So on the one hand, I'm an extremist in which I say this is academia is a giant scam. The cost of tuition is going up. It outpaces inflation every year by about 4 times. It's not going to professors. It's just going generally. It's just going to administrative jobs for a bunch of woke communist sympathizers who are building a world that's incredibly hostile to the Christian faith, incredibly hostile to the family. And so I'm an extremist in the sense that I think the best way to deal with this problem is to just raid the endowments of these billion-dollar endowments of universities to pay off the student loans of the people that they hornswoggled. And then we should ban student loans in the future, defund public universities, and force schools to actually provide a real education. In that sense, I'm an extremist, but I'm also an extremist in like, if you cross the Rubicon of ridiculousness, if you took out $150,000 to study, as I think the example I give in the piece is feminist paradigms and post-colonialist patriarchies. If you took out $150,000 to study something that no one works in other than the professors who are teaching that class, you only have yourself to blame. And if you expect taxpayers to pay off your loans, I don't think you deserve to have your loans canceled. I think that you deserve to have them doubled. So that's what I mean by kind of being an equal opportunity extremist. From both sides, I see ridiculousness that should be seen as such. But at the same time, that's not really my main issue with this whole approach to the Biden attempt to cancel student loans and people saying, well, if you really are a true believing Christian, then you would support that. That's the thing that upsets me more than people disagreeing with me one way or another on what's the best way to deal with the student loan problem.
What is the pseudo-biblical argument circulating online against Christians who oppose student debt forgiveness?
Yeah, well, the idea is basically, well, the Bible talks all the time about forgiving debts, which it does. And so therefore, because the Bible talks about forgiving debts, as a Christian, you should therefore support any plan of forgiving student loans and forgiving student debt simply because the word debt also shows up in that sentence. That's about how deep it gets. And there's no question of, well, whose debt is this? How was the debt incurred? Who's actually paying off the debt? Who's getting the money from the debt that's being paid off? Where's that money coming from? What will this actually prevent the problem from happening again in the future? Or will it actually cause the problem to be infinitely worse? All kinds of questions like that. If you dare to have any objections and say, hey, we're talking about two very different things here. It's no. You just don't believe the gospel. You don't really believe in the forgiveness of sins because you don't believe in something that's sort of thematically similar to the forgiveness of sins, but also different in about 10,000 different ways.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're answering the question, does the Bible support student loan forgiveness? We'll come to an important question, one of three, why is it important that we ask who owes the debt?
Since Scripture says to preach the word, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Preach the word. which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about praying to Jesus' mother?
Pastor Chris Roseboro speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Scripture says to preach the word. Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about humans evolving from monkeys? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about women being pastors? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about non-binary human beings? Scripture says to preach the word. Scripture teaches sola scriptura.
You can watch and listen to Chris Roseboro's presentation, Making the Case for Scripture Alone, at the 2022 Making the Case Conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're getting Pastor Hans Feeney's answer to the question, does the Bible support student loan forgiveness? I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Folks, you have 5 days left to order audio and video recordings of the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains presentations by Brian Wolfmiller, Chris Roseboro, Will Whedon, Joel Bierman, Pavi Rossinen, Albert Moeller, and Bill Barr. For a contribution of $300 by Labor Day, we'll send you a conference recording link and a password. Learn more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Hans, you say that the first question we should ask when comparing student loan debt forgiveness to Christianity is, who owes the debt? Why is that important?
Well, right. So if you're going to talk about debt forgiveness, the question is who's being rescued and who's the one doing the rescuing? And this is about the only point in which the student loan debt forgiveness and the Christian understanding of salvation are kind of on the same page. So in this situation, you're the one that owes the debt. So in the student debt world, it's because you took out a bunch of loans to pay for a college education, to pay for a degree that may or may not have been entirely worthless. And in the Christian universe, you're the one who racked up an unpayable bill through your sins, that you were, God created you to love him perfectly, to perfectly love and serve your neighbor. God created you to worship him, to obey his commandments, and you didn't. And in doing so, you incurred this massive debt that you could not possibly pay off. So in both of those things, the answer is essentially the same. You're the one who owns the debt, but it gets very different when you look at the questions of to whom is the debt owed and who's paying the debt.
That second question, to whom is the debt owed? How is it different in the case of student loans and Christianity? Take that apart for us.
Yeah. So in the student loan universe, there's this kind of hazy answer of, well, the loans are owed to the government, but also kind of to the university at the same time. So that's essentially who you owe the money to if you have student loans. It's basically the government because they went to your college and you said, hey, can I go to college for $5,000? And Mr. Student Loans came along and he said, no, I'll pay $50,000 for him to go to college and he'll just pay me back. And the university said, that sounds like a great deal. And you went, oh, I don't want to do that. And the universities went, nope, $50,000. Someone's going to give me $50,000. That's how much college costs now. So you give your money to the school, but you don't have enough money to pay for it. So you take out loans. So the government essentially pays the school. So it's kind of a mixture of those two things. Obviously, in the Christian model, you owe the debt to God. so that you are the one who took from him through your sins, through profaning his name, through despising his word, through despising your neighbor. You took from God and are therefore in his debt.
So the final question is, who is paying the debt? How are the two circumstances completely different?
Yeah, and this is where things get completely different. So in the Christian model, God is the one who pays the debt that you owe him. So he doesn't merely treat the debt as though it doesn't exist, but rather he sends his son, Jesus Christ, sends his only begotten son, who has lived a life of perfect righteousness, to go to the cross for you and to look at that account of yours that's filled with negative infinity $1 billion. And he fills it with his blood and his forgiveness and his righteousness. So he destroys all of the sins through which you took things away from God. And through his perfect righteousness, through his holiness, through his sacrifice, he gives to God all of the righteousness and perfection that you need to have eternal life. So it's not just that Jesus takes your account from negative $11 billion to $0, but that he takes it to from negative $11 billion to plus $11 billion infinity dollars by giving you his righteousness. And so God is the one who watches his only begotten son die upon the cross in order to cancel your debt, in order to take away the payment that you could never possibly pay. God is the one who suffers. God is the one who endures. God is the one in the person of Jesus Christ. God is the one who sweats and bleeds and dies in agony in order to give you freedom from that debt. But under the student loan forgiveness model, it's not the government doesn't have money. The government just takes money from taxpayers. Now, if people want to have a political debate as to whether or not it's good for the government to do this, whether or not it's good for the government to take tax dollars from many people who didn't get student loans and deliberately chose not to and were wise about their investments, and then give it to people who took out foolish loans and got worthless degrees and things of that nature. You can have a debate as to whether or not that's good for society. I really don't care about people's specific answer to that. But it's very clearly not the same thing as the gospel, because in this instance, what's happening is this massive debt that you owe to the government or to the schools, however you want to see it, the government is saying, I'm going to forgive that debt, not by paying it themselves, but by taking money from people who are completely uninvolved in the situation. So that this is like if I commit some crime against a guy and he takes me to civil court and sues me for $10 million and I lose, I owe the guy $10 million. And if he says, don't worry, out of my kindness and benevolence, I'm going to forgive your debt. And then he just goes and takes $10 million out of the bank account of some orphanage over here that had nothing to do with the situation. So it's always very easy to be charitable and to be kind and forgiving with other people's money. And we can debate whether or not that's a good thing for the government to do. But what it's certainly not is reflective of the atonement. It doesn't show us what the love of God is. Jesus doesn't walk 99% of the way to the cross and then say, all right, now I'm going to throw some guy who was minding his own business and not bothering you and had nothing to do with this. I'm going to throw him on the cross and he's going to die for your sins. That's the student loan model. It's not the Christian model.
Why do otherwise secular people frequently resort to these pseudo-biblical arguments when dealing with Christianity?
Yeah, I think in the end, these are basically just kind of ad hominems. There's just personal attacks. The idea is really, oh, well, you're a bad person. You're a hypocrite. And so that's why I don't need to consider your position. If you were a true believer, then your faith would lead you to agree with me on all of these various political points. But the fact that you don't means that you're a hypocrite, and therefore I don't need to listen to anything that you say. So it's an attempt to use your faith against you, to use your holy scriptures against you in order to dismiss you as someone who doesn't really believe what he's saying. And you're only really you're not motivated by Christian love and care. You're ultimately just motivated by hatred. And so it's really just an attempt to not have to deal with the veracity of your arguments and whether or not what you're saying is true. If you can just convince yourself that the person who's saying something that you might not have a response to, if you can just tell yourself, well, that person's a bad person and he doesn't even really mean the thing that he's saying. So if he doesn't mean it, then I don't have to actually listen to it.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, There's Nothing Christian About Biden's Student Debt Forgiveness, and Here's Why. You'll find a link to it and to Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Hans, thanks.
My pleasure.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Adam Francisco answer the question, is secularism secular? We'll discuss prison ministry post-pandemic with Pastor Jeff Nairt, and we'll talk with Dr. Stephen Parks about proof texting early church fathers and Roman Catholicism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.